Now that we have looked at various kind of training methods, let's look at what kind of impact does this cross-cultural training methods have on individuals. So impact of cross-cultural training, the first important impact is development of cultural awareness. So the participants really come up saying that knowing the cultural aspects beforehand really helped them after arriving to the host country. So those who attend post-arrival cross-cultural training displayed greater ability in recognizing cultural differences. These skills in turn facilitated their cross-cultural adjustment and job-related performances. So being aware of what kind of cultural differences to expect make them mentally prepared to really go through those kind of experiences. For example, participants, there's an example here which I will read it out for you. For example, participants who took a one-day post-CCT focused on a brief introduction to job-related responsibilities and on paying attention to local norms and value systems, they gradually became more aware of the fact that cultural differences were a major factor in terms of the work behavior of the people and in their home country and in the host nation. So, even being aware of what cultural differences to expect has helped expats in a long way to be prepared. The next obvious one is communication skills, improvement of communication skills. So the expert says that even if you are not fluent with the communication skills, it is good to understand the basics of foreign language, how they are spoken. And when we say communication, it is not just about spoken language. It is also about a host of other things like your body language, like the sign language, etc. That kind of orientation really helps the expats. Also, within the same language, there are quite a bit of differences within the same language. Like a British would talk English differently than an American, than an Indian. So, you know, understanding the phrases, understanding the underlying meaning of what has been spoken is equally important. So, though the official language is same, there are a lot of orientation that one needs to go through even if the language, spoken language in the office is the same. expats who are not fluent in the host country language have indicated that they suffer greatly during the first few months of their assignment. So going through the communication training or orientation helps the expats big time. So we looked at cultural awareness training, how it really helped the expats. Now we will look at cultural adjustment training. So the U-curve that we spoke about from being in a shock stage to being in an adjustment stage, how to really walk that distance and how to really make it happen as smoothly as possible is something that is covered in this kind of cultural adjustment training sessions. They pose the main challenges to their overseas assignments while interacting with the locals and expanding the business interest in the host country. Expats observe that attending a cross-cultural training makes them understand the differences between the local staff and the facilities, their acceptance of these differences in a way that they were gradually able to adjust to the local work environment. A quick check on what we have seen so far. Cross-cultural training helps expat in what? Improving communication skills, adjust cross-culturally, both A and B. So the answer is obviously both A and B. The language training for expats makes it easy for them to convey in instructions clearly. To understand the locals' conversation or find their way around the host country. So from in a work environment, in an office environment, understanding the instructions clearly is the most important aspect of language training. Now let's look at the role of HR in an expat training. So we have spoken about what is the need for a training. We have spoken about how the cultural adjustment happens, the U-shaped curve which we spoke about here. We spoke about what are the different types of training methods. We just spoke about what are the impact of these cross-cultural training on the expats. Now let's look at what the role of HR is in expat training. So now let's look at the role of HR in an expat training. Now HR, by the virtue of training being an HR function, HR professional plays a very pivotal important role in training expats. Honestly, as per my personal experience, the role of HR in expat training has to go much beyond the classroom training. The handholding of the expats on a day-to-day basis is extremely, extremely important. So here we will focus, today we will focus on how the HR is going to play an important role in a formalized training setup. So there are those teaching social norms becomes important. There are those social norms where here's an example which is quoted, which says that a friendly handshake in one country might be seen as something which is a very aggressive behavior in some other country. So those kind of social norms we really need to sensitize the expat on. There might not be many, but there could be few, but those few things can really become disastrous for a newcomer. So those things needs to be, you know, looked at, and the expat has to be trained on that on a day-to-day basis. Like I said, it has to go sometimes beyond a classroom training or formalized training setup for, you know, the expat to learn small nuances of how it happens in a foreign country. So typically in a classroom session, it says that it may be even you know, seminars or written guidelines on how to interact with the co-workers in a foreign country. Addressing changing business practices, this is something very, very core to, you know, the business understanding of an expat. Business practice can change from one country to another, even among different branches of the same business. HR needs to address standards for conducting business that may differ from one country to another. For example, an expat might have focused her efforts on keeping careful records in her country of origin, but your business might prioritize socializing and managerial skills. So these are, you know, small things that HR needs to really introduce an expat to. What are the business practices? So what are the business priorities? So the business priorities there in the host country, in the home country, could be different from what they are here. Based on the assignment, based on, you know, the project that the person is working on. So those smaller, finer things that needs reorientation, the HR should definitely play an important role here. HR needs not only to introduce expats to the foreign cultures, but also to the business culture. Very, very important. There could be small things like, you know, these days you will see after the lunch or after a meal, people go out for a walk for 5-10 minutes and then, you know, kind of go back to their seats for work. So this is a cultural thing which a foreigner might not understand, and we need to really introduce him to those things. Educating about the law, very, very important. And many times most ignored part of the training, but a small hitch in understanding of the law or keeping up to the standards of the law may, you know, end up into a huge problem for the expat. So introducing the expat to the local laws and the way things are done locally is extremely important. So rules and regulations, statutory requirements, other local law things like income tax or, you know, a PF, etc. So those things, employment related laws, business related laws, those are the things that an HR definitely needs to introduce it to expat. while an expat does not need to be a lawyer, she does need to definitely know the law of the land. Managing paperwork. Now here we are not restricting ourselves to managing the paperwork at office or at the desk, but we are going beyond that and helping the expat understand what kind of paperwork does he or she need to keep while he or she is in a transit from one country to another. So there are situations where an expat is going or visiting various countries in a span of a week or 2 weeks or even a month. So things like visas, things like different kind of permissions, governmental permissions if required, their driving licenses, the other paperwork like passports, etc., need to be really, really taken care very intimately. These days, typically, it's not the HR department. There is a specialized department which works on the paperwork that one needs to have while traveling, and that's quite a bit huge paperwork. There's a specialized person or specialized department who does it. However, it is a responsibility of the HR to ensure that all of that is done, not just done, but also the expat is aware of all the documentation that he is supposed to carry. So that was about the role of the HR. A quick check on what we just spoke. HR can play a big role in expat adjustment by doing what? Designing the compensation package, teaching expats about the cultural norms of the host country, or recruiting the expats on time. The answer is obviously B. Expat who have a variety of immigration status. HR needs to make them minimum in number, ensure that they have the right paperwork, or discourage them from moving a lot. So we just spoke about this in the last slide, that the HR has to ensure that the right paperwork is done and the expat is sensitized about the paperwork. We have looked at training in international context in real depth by now. We have looked at the need for training in international assignments, cultural adjustment, how does that happen, cross-cultural training methods. We have seen at how that cultural training impacts the expats. We have just looked at how the role of HR is very, very important, or how the HR plays a pivotal role in making the training successful. Why all this effort? Why are we doing all of this? The reason is that a global company definitely needs to develop global managers. Let's look at developing leaders to manage global roles. Now, in the context of global leaders, the role of global leaders really remain full of complexity, variety. At the same time, it is even chaos. It's not easy to build global leaders, and it definitely doesn't happen over time, overnight. Huge efforts in terms of from both the individuals and the individual leader and the organization both have worked hand in hand to make that happen. So today's global leaders have huge challenges, right from managing a team which is a virtual team. Many times it so happens that you have never even met the person who is performing the best for your project or for your business. So these kind of challenges the global leader really have to have a complete control on, and need to go through all kind of training requirements or developmental requirements that he or she needs. Global leaders encounter a common challenge: how to influence a group, individuals or group. This is definitely in a scenario where a lot of people in the team are themselves extremely ambitious, and they are themselves looking to go at next level. How to manage these high flying professionals, at the same time how to manage the performance of somebody who is not performing up to the standards of the business. the overall impact by and large has to be positive on the business. So those kind of problems that a global leaders faces, the training to very large extent can help them address those problems. Of course, training is not just the only way. There are a lot of other things. There are a lot of other ways of learning that has to happen, which is where I said that the HR has to really go beyond the classroom training to make the real development happen. The global leaders with global mindsets are the key sustainable competitive advantage in today's global economy. Like I said, the development of these expert global business leaders is a complex process. It is a long-term process. It is a process where there is a huge commitment required from both the individual and the company. The capabilities are developed over time and built on fresh competencies that include a requisite level of inquisitiveness and openness, natural abilities that are supported by cross-cultural knowledge and built on base of business and technical skills. Let's look at some of the best practices which are recommended. Organizations need strategic clarity about what kind of skills a global leader needs. So that is something really very basic and at the same time something which is really missing a lot of times. So strategic directions for the business and for the development of individuals is extremely, extremely important, and that has to come in coordination with the top management and the HR department. The prospective global leaders need relevant development opportunities, again something very, very important. So we might have people in the organization with huge potential, but unless they get that opportunity to explore that potential and learn beyond develop, that kind of development doesn't really remain possible. Prospective global leaders need appropriate levels of feedback, resources and support to help them learn from the experiences they have. Now, a part of this we have also looked at when we saw the chapter on managing performances. So yes, feedback, resources and support which is combined with clear vision, clear strategy of business is something very, very important. People need international perspectives and exposure starting early in their careers to maximize the quality of global competent expert pipeline. In addition, these same expert global leaders demonstrate high level of flexibility. So these are the finer things that you know, one needs to wove in the training programs. So if you look at the next slide, it says linkage between global leadership development programs and overall business performance. So the companies who are really doing good and have developed good global leaders or good global managers, 63% of these companies are saying, as per this data, 63% of high performing companies reported having a global leadership program in place in 2012. Whereas 44% of the low performing companies reported that they have really done this training program for their leaders. So this is again a huge gap and only emphasizes the need of the training program for global leadership. So based on that, it is reasonable to conclude that companies focused on improving their performance are looking at global leadership programs as an attractive investment for the organization. The leading competencies that are focused on global leadership development program remain remarkably consistent over a period of time. So these are these are the skill sets that companies were looking for to train their managers in 2011, whereas in 2012, if you see, it has only slightly changed by a thing or two. So change management, critical thinking and problem solving, strategy development, all these three remained the same. What really changed were all of these plus execution of global strategies, ability to influence and build coalitions. So all these five factors remain just the same over the period of year, just that you know their ranking changed. So it just talks about how important it is to conduct these training programs. Important focus of global leadership development programs: interpersonal influence and coalition building. So we spoke about how important cultural sensitization and communication filling the communication gap is important. So this slide only reiterates what we spoke about. It talks about you know how the soft skills, interpersonal influences, help the global leaders in training program. The competencies that will be needed for global leaders over the next 10 years has remained nearly consistent, with greater focus on cross-cultural innovation. So competencies like managing virtual teams, managerial agility, cross-cultural employment, employee engagement, managing matrix organization. So a lot of these things that we have covered in today's presentation has a place here, which is very interesting to know. So that was you know a brief on how leadership development is important when it comes to managing roles globally. So we have kind of covered the entire chapter structure for training and development in context of international you know businesses. Now we will quickly have a summary on what is that we have looked upon in today's presentation. We started looking at the presentation saying that because of increasing globalization, the rate at which movement of people would happen from one country to another country has really increased. And this increase in the movement has brought in a lot of challenges. While there are business opportunities in doing so, there are a lot of challenges which needs to be addressed through things like training. We also saw how you know it's not about the adjustment of the individual who is getting transferred for this from the company, but also adjustment of his children and spouses that is extremely sensitive and necessary. We saw how multinational corporations do offer cross-cultural training to their expats, and how it has a positive impact on their settlement in the new territory. We saw that only 60% extend to other training to the entire family, and those who extend the training to the entire family really find it very helpful. We saw the U-shaped curve, which we spoke about. It starts from a honeymoon period to a cultural shock period, and then an adjustment level, and then a mastery level. We also spoke about host of things that really help the expats to you know to go through to quickly run through the distance between the cultural shock and the adjustment period. We also saw the importance of training which will help them not to fall down from honeymoon period or to the cultural shock period, or rather even if it does happen, how quickly can they come out of that cultural shock thing and move towards adjustment and then mastery. We saw leaders with high level of global mindset are more expert. At the end of the presentation, we also saw how global mindset are more expert global leaders because of their ability to understand and interpret what is going on the global scenario. We looked at what are the different kind of training methods that are available, which are most common, which are not so common, but how a combination of both the training methods can really be helpful. This is the last slide, which says leadership and learning are indispensable to each other. So this is the core of our entire learning today, how leadership development and training can really go hand in hand and make a huge impact on the way business is done globally. Thank you.